Hey everybody, Chris Fafalius here. If you enjoy One Hit Thunder, which I'm assuming you do considering you're listening to it right now, I want to tell you about another great music podcast on the Evergreen Podcast Network. It's called Riffs on Riffs. On this season of Riffs on Riffs, hosts Toby Braswell and Joe Watson are breaking down one iconic pop song each week. Everything from Taylor Swift's Cruel Summer to Journey's Don't Stop Believin' to Naughty by Nature's OPP. Each week, they crack open the song, trace its history, decode those cryptic lyrics, and unearth the hidden gems in its musical DNA. Not only do they dive into the song's history, lyrics, and impact, they also go down some fun and oftentimes hilarious rabbit holes. So yeah, if you're a fan of One Hit Thunder, I think you'll also enjoy Riffs on Riffs. So go hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, I'm Chris Fafalius, and I'm the producer of Krista Makes a Podcast and the host of the One Hit Thunder podcast.
And I'm Matt Kelly, host of Horror Movie Night and the producer slash the head of content for the Geekscape Podcasting Network.
Between the two of us, we have, believe it or not, 25 years of podcasting experience, and we want to help you start your own podcast.
We know podcasting, and we want to share that knowledge with you.
So whether you're new to podcasting or you want some feedback on your currently active podcast, we want to help.
Or perhaps you're just overwhelmed with all of the editing work. Well, we can help you with that also.
You can check out our website at weknowpodcasting.com for more information.
We're excited to help your podcasting dreams become a reality.
In 1989, a group of rappers from Long Island formed a group under the name Young Black Teenagers, and they were surprisingly, as we'll get into in this episode, taken under the wing of Public Enemy. Their song Tap the Bottle was a minor hit in 1993, but it was enough of a hit to make this week's guest, PJ Caruso, want to twist the cap on a song that's just barely popular enough to even make an episode about.
One hit is all you need to make the money guaranteed, and you can live off royalties forever. And it makes me wonder, is it just a wonder, or is it one hit thunder?
So PJ, you chose Young Black Teenagers' song Tap the Bottle, and what I found on the internet, I thought Wikipedia summed it up perfectly. The description is, man, this really says it all. Young Black Teenagers, aka YBT, was an American hip-hop group from Long Island, New York, that consisted of ATA, Firstborn, Tommy Never, Cameron, and DJ Scribble. Despite their name, none of the group's members were black.
Incidentally, none of them were teenagers either.
Wow, I didn't even know that part of it.
They just lied all around on that one.
I mean, it's a pretty funny name if they were being like ironic about it, but I feel like that wasn't really the case. I think it was really, really over the top cultural appropriation in the 90s before that was a thing that people said, correct?
Well, here, okay, if you go back and like, everyone's kind of like recounting their own history about it now when they do interviews on it. And I was listening to DJ Scribble talk about it, and he kind of said, yeah, it was a joke. Mm-hmm. We weren't serious about it. But then like other ones are like, oh no, that was serious. And actually, they didn't even give themselves that name. Public Enemy gave him that name. Terminator X gave him that name.
Wow.
So it's kind of like weird to think about, like, everyone knows Public Enemy. Public Enemy is like, you know, Fight the Power or, you know, Welcome to the Terror Dome, any of that stuff. You know, it's you know, hip hop history. It's iconic. And that they felt the need to call this group of five white guys Young Black Teenagers. Now, here's the thing, though, is that those guys were all really cool with all those guys. Like, they grew up in the 80s in New York City. You know, DJ Scribble said that he started DJing in like 1980 or something like that. He was like 12 years old. Mm-hmm. So like they did kind of come up with all of those same people. You know, like his first show, he was there with like Chuck D, Dr. Dre, Dougie Doug from Cool Runnings, but he was so bad that they kicked him off the turntables. But at the same time, he was still cool enough with those guys where they're like, yeah, go ahead, jump on.
So there's some cred.
I feel like there is some cred to it. It just doesn't make any sense. And obviously today, and like, that would never fly.
Yeah, it wouldn't fly now. And the public, the whole Public Enemy endorsement, you said Terminator X is the one who came up with the name?
Well, he was their producer.
Yeah.
He produced their album.
If that's the case, then yeah. I mean, it's hard to argue. The only thing I know is I did, when you first told me about this band, this was maybe months ago now, I went and watched some YouTubes and I watched interviews with them like at the time. And they were really insisting that being black was not the color of your skin, but it was just like...
It was a culture.
Yeah, it was a culture.
Appropriating the hell out of
it. Yeah, like really. That clip didn't age very well either. I believe it was a black guy interviewing them.
Fab Five Freddy.
Who was?
Yeah, and that's the thing is that he's cool. Like, he does not mention it. They don't gloss over nothing. He just is like, yeah, so here we are, you know, firstborn, Cameron, which, dude... Cameron has the most hilarious name. It's an acronym, actually. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys... Did you see this?
No.
Okay. So his acronym stands for King Ares Mac Ruler of Knuckleheads.
Wow.
That's what his name actually stands for. Wow. Which is really long. What?
It's a real stretch after the fact that was already his name. That he came up with that in like 30 seconds. Like, I don't know.
Real fill in the blank.
Yeah.
They had a couple singles off their first album that didn't really do anything too crazy. But... one of their singles off their first album was called Proud to Be Black.
Yeah, like, I know. I saw that.
Yes.
Like, that's where, like, the joke goes, like, too far to me. Like,
yeah.
Because then the other two are very... We were talking earlier about, like, how the Beastie Boys... What worked about the Beastie Boys was that, like, they were white guys that basically rapped about white guy stuff.
Right.
So, like, having a track that was, like, Nobody Knows Kelly, that was just, like, a tribute to Kelly Bundy on Married with Children. Or they had a song that was, like, an attack on Madonna for yanking a beat from Public Enemy for Justify My Love. Like, that I'm like, okay, yeah, that kind of vibes with what I imagine young black teenagers, the all white rap group, to be rapping about. But Proud to Be Black's a really tough one for me to get past.
It seems like something that would be in a movie that would be really funny.
Yeah. Like a CB4, like they would have been like a side group in CB4 or something like that.
Absolutely. It would have been, oh my God. I almost wish that CB4 had that plot line in it right now, or Fear the Black Hat.
This is interesting about their name as well, and that is that they were actually supposed to battle Leaders of the New School for the name Leaders of the New School.
I don't know who Leaders of the New School are.
Oh, that's where Busta came from.
Yeah, it's like Busta Rhymes. You know that Tribe Called Quest song Scenario?
Yeah.
That's Tribe Called Quest and Leaders of the New School.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Any of the voices that aren't Fife Dog or Q-Tip are the Leaders of the New School.
Okay.
So they like wanted, they were like, hey, so you guys are going to battle it out. You're going to make songs.
They were going to lose that fight.
But basically what they said, they're like, no, they're our friends. That's them. That's their name. Like, they can have it. We'll just have something else. And I guess there's like some other names that they came up with for them, like Clowns with Dirty Faces, maybe. I don't know. There was a bunch of really bad ones. But I mean, I think Young Black Teenagers kind of tops the bad ones. But, you know.
I mean, there would be another rap group that went with the clown gimmick a couple years later.
Couple other things. PJ, calling this song a one-hit wonder, you're
stretching it.
Yeah, the hit part is kind of a stretch because it peaked at number 55 on my 13th birthday. On April 24th, 1993, the song peaked at number 55, unless you were talking about New Zealand.
In which
it peaked at number 5. Okay, so it's maybe a New Zealand one-hit wonder.
Why were they big in New Zealand?
I don't know. But also, the other thing I was going to say about this song, I had heard this song before. I recognize it. It's pretty good rapping. It is pretty good. And also, it's very you. Now, that's not going to make sense to most people that are listening to this, unless you're friends with us and friends with PJ. But like, yeah, I would know you would like this style of rap.
I love that.
This is the best. PJ and I actually talked about this when he picked this, because I was like, this is that Das Effects, Fushnikins, Onyx style of hip hop that is always great to me.
It's
don't forget Lords of the Underground.
And Lords of the Underground. It's yeah. posse hip hop. Like, that's the only way to describe it, but it's great.
A lot of Carhartt was worn while rapping these songs.
The delivery is relentless.
So many syllables. Like, Ward's didn't have enough syllables, so they added like six to every word.
Yeah, so many words. Yeah. If you're saying supercalifragilisticexpialidocious in your song, you know, you're like, yeah. you're really going for it. And I respect that. There's an art to that. And I think there's modern day rappers that in certain songs, like I think of Kendrick Lamar doing that sometimes, just like relentless, like boom, like, you know, there's going to be a lot of words and they're going to come at you in a cool way and it's going to make you feel good. And this song fits in that category for sure.
Here's the thing with the song and the production and everything. If you just played it, I would go, yeah, I like that song. But then when you get the whole backstory, watch the video, see the interviews, you're like, what was this?
This is like one of those songs that you could like literally put on a party mix and no one would know the song, but it wouldn't stop the party. Like, it's still like enough of a party jam that it's just like, oh, this is infectious. And I know the chorus after the second line by heart, so I can sing along with it when it comes around the next time.
And I think that like this was like kind of around the same time as like House of Pain, Jump Around and stuff yeah. like that. So, yeah. you know, that whole like raucous rap music. Yeah,
there's not
you know,
a lot of party hip hop anymore. The 90s really got the corner on party hip hop.
Well, yeah, it was party hip hop, but it was also wearing, like I said, a lot of denim and construction clothes and carrying weapons. Like, you remember, like, the guy from Naughty by Nature had a machete that he just carried
yeah,
around,
just walked around
for whatever
it.
Reason.
Yeah, why not?
It was its name was Alibaba, by the way. for me, like, that was, like, I would say 6th, 7th grade. And that's when, like, Chronic came out. Then Eazy-E came back out with Real Compton City G's. Yeah. And, like, I loved all that. Even if you go back and listen to it now, the language is terrifying on it as far as, like...
Well, that's, like, the thing is, like... The NWA album, like, I love Straight Outta Compton. I think it's a great album. There are some songs that I'm like, this is like a scary ass song. Like, these dudes may have actually killed somebody.
Yeah, I mean, listen to Hit 'Em Up.
Yeah.
Now it's like, oh man, this is rough. Yeah. This is, I feel bad listening to this.
I mean, RIP DMX, but like DMX, I feel like was the last mainstream rapper where when he was like writing those songs, you're like, yo, this guy's lived through some shit.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, for sure. And when I look at the lyrics of young black teenagers tap the bottle, I don't know that they lived through some shit. I don't know. We could go through these, but tap the bottle, what does that mean?
Well, first of all, I want to say they all grew up in New York, you know, going to hip hop shows, living in like being in the park every day. Like, they may have seen some stuff.
Okay.
You don't know.
All right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but, you know, that aside, you're still not proud to be black.
They're white guys from Long Island, so I don't mean to generalize, but I don't know.
Yeah, we know a few of those who incidentally also sing about killing people sometimes.
Yeah, sure.
You almost had these two different genres. You had the gangster rap stuff that was happening with like all of the NWA stuff and like what spawned from that. But then you did also have like the Jungle Brothers and Tribe Called Quest and De La Soul doing like the alternative hip hop and like the hippie hip hop.
The conscious
hip hop, all that stuff. And then you kind of just had groups like Onyx and Dos Effex and all them were kind of just right smack in the middle. Like, they were like 1 foot into the gangster rap side, but also a really big foot into the, as I keep calling it, the posse hip hop stuff, where it's just like a bunch of MCs just having fun and like finishing each other's lines. And like, that's the stuff that's really cool. Like, that's the stuff that we were talking about the Beastie Boys earlier, like trying to do I've done Beastie Boys covers, and there are certain songs that are very hard to learn because they are literally exchanging on syllables with each other. And to like perfect that with two other people is really fucking hard. So I always love these like posse hip hop songs where they're just like jumping back and forth between different MCs.
Also, yeah. too, if you listen to their style, it has a pop sensibility where the chorus keeps coming back. There's a hook, you know, by the end of the song, you're singing along. So it's radio friendly too.
And there is a real rhythmic aspect to the delivery that is, it's like another layer of rhythm within the beat, which I guess it's missing from any hip hop or modern day rap that I don't like, that's what's missing from it. I mean, just great flow, I guess, is yeah. what I'm getting at.
Yeah. I mean, but, what I would consider it, like, you know, they're like dancing all over the beat, filling in different things, like mm-hmm. like a almost like a jazz drummer. You know what I mean? Like yeah. syncopated different rhythms going yeah. on with the beat. And it's good. I mean, like they can do it. They can yeah. rap yeah. for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not doubting that. As far as the song goes, tap the bottle and twist the cap. What are we talking about here? A 40?
Yes. Okay. So you have to keep in mind, too, around this time, how popular 40s were. Like
40s.
40s were just in every music video. Rappers were always carrying around 40s. Every movie you watch, they were going to get 40s. They were drinking 40s. And so this was just kind of a play on that. And tapping the bottle, I believe, is when you slam the bottle down. Uh-huh. And then you open it up real quick and it kind of like explodes into your mouth. I could be completely wrong on this. And I didn't mean to say explode in your mouth on a podcast, but you know.
That sounds like a terrible way to drink.
Yeah, it's like shotgunning a 40 maybe. You know what I mean?
It's really funny that, I mean, I don't know if you did. I know there. I went through a 40 phase where I wanted to get 40s. And it doesn't make sense because it's usually warm by the bottom.
Yeah, I'd rather drink four beers.
Yeah, right.
Just four bottles of beer.
Yeah, just a regular beer is good.
But it's funny too, because I remember at the same time down at the Giant Eagle by my house, which was the grocery store for those of you who are not from Western Pennsylvania, they had these Mystic, like, you remember like Mystic sodas? Mm-hmm. They had ones that were shaped exactly like 40s. Yeah, and man, nice. We got those all the time.
That was the candy cigarettes of beer.
I mean, Friday night after a football game, go in Giant Eagle and get your big old Mystic and walk around like you were in a Dr. Dre video.
Are you actually going to try to read all these?
Yeah, I want to know
a lot of lyrics.
I want to know what this song's about.
So, I think it's about passing a 40 around with your friends.
Okay, tap the bottle and twist the cap and pass all around the crew because the crew be all that.
Yeah.
That's good. Good point. Hey, yo, hickory dickory dock. I'm under the Brooklyn block.
Yes.
Who's the next to testify and try to penetrate the vest?
Shooting. Bulletproof vest.
Diggity do re mi fa sol la ti. I drop back my Balzac. I take it in track and give it a smack and cut no slack, Jack.
I don't know what any of those mean.
Balzac. I feel like Balzac was like a thing that the Beastie Boys said at that time too.
I've heard Belle Biv DeVoe say it before, like on the Balzac.
Yeah. What does that not mean? Your
I think it means Balzac.
Does it mean your scrotum, or is there another definition of Balzac? I don't know about.
I know when he said it in the video, Michael Bivins grabbed his crotch. So
there was a 90s toy called the Balzac.
I do remember that too. Yes. I think it had a weight on one end. So when you threw it, it like kind of spiraled.
I mean, I've had the Urban Dictionary definition.
Oh, nice.
Here. Balzac, three definitions. Ball bearings between a male leg. Game in which sacks of balls are hurled at German men named Charles. And shit between your legs.
So basically balls.
Okay, we're going with balls.
Yeah, we'll just go with balls.
We'll go with balls
on
that one.
What he's thinking about is balls. So here's confirmation this is about 40s. Okay, here I go, shorty. Tap the 40, oh smash. To a pass, if you crash, make a dash to the trash. This is getting...
That's in case you throw up, I guess?
Well, yeah, but... It's getting very, what's every word that rhymes? Let's say every word that rhymes with this here.
You know what, though? I don't think that this one's that bad. And that's like, yes, they are absolutely rhyming, but I can follow what the sentence is saying,
okay,
right?
Okay.
Like, you tap the 40 and you're going to pass it, but if you think you're going to like have a bad time with it, you got to dash to that trash can.
Oh, okay. You know what I mean? Like, all right, I follow you.
Don't mess up the circle, you know?
Yeah. Tap a cap, have a lot and not a lot, not a little. Don't grade upon the label. Take a guzzle. Don't dribble. So don't judge. Someone passes you a Coors Light 40. Just drink.
Doesn't have to be oldie. Doesn't have to be Colt 45.
Yeah, doesn't have to be.
Hello, Tom May here, host of Future Friday. I've spent the last 15 years on the road with my band, The Menzingers, where I've met all kinds of wild and fascinating people. So I started a podcast. On Future Friday, I talk to fellow musicians about the moments that made them, their passions outside of music, and the curiosities that tie us all together. I've also talked to the likes of UFO researchers, magicians, soldiers, and documentary filmmakers, and I'm constantly searching for folks that can shape and change our view of the world. You can check out Future Friday wherever you like.
Hey everyone, this is Tuck from Fit for a King, an off-road minivan. Every week I bring you fun interviews alongside your favorite metalcore entertainers with my new podcast, Get Tucked. Join me every Monday with bands like Counterparts, Crystal Lake, like Moths to Flames, and many more. We play unsigned and undiscovered bands, deep dive into each artist's history, and of course provide the greatest breakdowns in current metalcore. Tune in to Get Tucked every Monday, out now through Sound Talent Media.
I got the supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. You're coming too close to this. I get ferocious.
Nice rhyme.
Yeah. Coax this rhyme, smoke this rhyme hype. When we rock it up on the mic, we rock the mic right.
That's a gimme line.
Yeah.
You hear that?
That's a throwaway.
That's like one that people would use in a freestyle just because they knew it works. They know it works.
Pass the funnel to the tunnel like it's busy till I'm dizzy. Never pass it to get fizzy because the guards gets busy. Who is he? Damn, just pass the code to cipher when I hit the dress bottom by a can of Red Stripe. What? What? Okay. They're talking about a funnel. I guess they're bonging the beers.
Yeah. And because you have to if it's a can of Red Stripe, I guess, which I've never seen a can of Red Stripe in my life. Didn't you go through a Red Stripe phase?
I think if I'm going to drink beer, I'm truly all the way these days.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to drink a beer, I don't mind a Red Stripe. Maybe it's just the shape of the bottle.
Ryan Patrick in Des Moines, Iowa, always would buy us Red Stripe beers.
Yeah.
At the bar.
Yeah. I think Red Stripe's all right as far as beers go. So far, I understand the song. We're back to the chorus. We got to get through the. We're halfway there. We got to get through the other one. I think I'm.
There's three verses.
Wait, there. We don't have to go through all the verses. Yeah, we might as well. Well, I'll be coming around the mountain with my hoe, Susanna.
Why so many nursery rhymes?
Yeah,
but that's that Fushnickens
thing. That is
100% Fushnickens.
The Hickory Dickory Dock and all that stuff. There was a lot of that.
Yeah.
I mean, Fushnickens had a song where Chip Foo's entire verse was just him making references to Looney Tunes quotes.
Which young black teenagers have a song called Looney Tunes, if you didn't know that. Which I thought was just a reference to those shirts that we all used to wear.
With the gangster versions of Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck?
Yep. I had one when I was little that said Looney's Blunt. Meanwhile, I was like 13. Like, I even knew what it meant.
Around these times, I got to tell you, another thing that doesn't hold up very well. But if we're talking about knockoff shirts at the time, the first one that comes to mind, probably right at this time, is there was a knockoff Bart Simpson shirt that was him as Michael Jordan.
I had it.
Yeah, of course. So, anyway, I wish I could get that shirt right now. It'd probably be a pretty offensive shirt. Maybe. I don't know. A lot of that stuff was pretty borderline. Or a Big Johnson t-shirt.
Yeah.
Shirts.
Well, the thing is, I got it at the beach on the boardwalk where you can still find a litany of really offensive shirts to get.
Oh, yeah.
It's bad. It is nightmare fuel at the boardwalk.
I'm peeling off the caps like the Hicks in Alabama. Check the grammar and the stamina. I'm tooting my own horn. Timberland boots stomping 40. Drink it more. Malt liquor, chug a filter. Let me rip it, then I kick it. Tap it once for my brothers. Sip it, then I sip it. I actually like that line. Sip it, then I sip it. So Xerox the zip code. I'm in them all perfecto. Hallelujah, here I go. Watch me flow and let go. Troubleshooter, smoke the Buddha. Rule like a dictator. Used to hit the fader. Now I play the commentator.
Oh, so someone in the group used to be a DJ?
Who's now rapping.
And now they're rapping.
Nice.
All right. Little history. Like a DJ who can rock the mic and control the maestro. Little Dr. Dre line.
So let me swing it from the rhyme to the concrete jungle. With the king's heirs mackin' rolling over knuckle. Hits to the bed, cause right said Fred. Lock him up with the beeswax, kick it to him dread.
Okay, so the right said Fred thing, is that like I'm too sexy?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that would be my guess. I'm going to see if this is on Rap Genius.
What does that have to do with anything?
Hits to the bed because right said Fred. If they're saying I'm too sexy.
Oh, hits to the bed because they're too sexy. Yeah. Oh, clever.
Yeah. Yo, pass the peas, please. Party pooper, party stops. 64 will give you more if you're scamming on the block.
Was that in reference to 64-ounce beers like they had in CB4? Not to bring that back again. And then they had the 90?
I think so. So I did find out the person who's doing this particular verse, this is one of the only things that I got out of Rap Genius, is ATA, because on the first album, he was the producer, writer, and DJ, hence the hit, The Fader. But on this album, they let him come up as one of the rappers.
Because they had the incomparable DJ Scribble now.
Yeah.
Red top, bust open till you stop. But if you're drinking too slow, you might kiss the steel toe.
Back to the Timberlands, I guess.
So is he saying that if you drink your beer too slow, I'm going to kick you in the face or something? What's the...
I think that's, you know, akin to like whenever people are like, oh, you want me to get you a nipple for that thing?
Okay.
You know, like, I'll drink faster so I get sick. Thanks.
we're talking about this in a pandemic plagued world now, but are they all sharing the... They're passing it around to each other?
Yeah, pass around the crew because the crew's all that.
You remember we used to team beers? Do you remember doing that?
Yeah.
Yeah, teaming a beer before you go out. It's kind of same idea.
Okay, so I get it. I'm going to kick your ass if you're
drinking,
and pass it. Yeah. Okay. Just keep the sud from moving. Everything's be fine. And the 40 stops here till I finish my rhyme. Okay, yeah. So he's not drinking from the 40. He's rapping.
Yeah. But now that he's done rapping, he can take a sip.
It's 40 time.
Yep. Just watch those suds.
So far, I'm getting it.
I mean, it's just, it's a song about drinking 40s.
All right, this third verse has a few other genius links, so I'll interrupt when we get to them.
Okay, cool.
Perfect.
Balance on the beam. Here we go, team. Hike. Pass the mic down the line on time. Drop the rhyme. I rope a rope-a-dope, smoking with the red beam scoping. Pull a magnum body back and leave a backbone broken.
All right, so this is one of the rap genius ones.
Okay.
Red beam scoping refers to the laser sight of a gun. Pull a magnum body back refers to pulling the back and the slide on a semi-automatic handgun to load a round in the chamber, although a magnum round is designed for a revolver, which does not have a slide.
Okay.
Thank you, Rap Genius.
So they were a little bit off on that one.
Yeah, they weren't familiar with guns. They just knew the phrases.
That's actually good.
Yeah.
I'm glad these guys aren't familiar with guns. That's good.
They just knew you always keep one in the chamber.
Yeah.
Their rhymes are the only lethal thing they needed.
Yeah. Well, their mouth is the gun and their tongue is the trigger.
True. So was a bend a trend? I'm sending and I'm cruising for a hit. When I'm just sitting in the outhouse dropping mad, shh.
Don't say it. Keep it for the radio.
Got to keep it clean. Quiet on the set while the crew be getting wrecked. And if you're stunned by the bunch, I have a hunch you should step. Quiet on the set while the crew be getting wrecked. So don't say anything to us when we're drinking 40s.
Yeah, like I guess if they're in the green room or something like
that. Yeah, pregame and before the set.
Let them go.
Gotcha.
You know? Don't be a narc.
So pass me the crazy straw and let me do the Q-tip. What is a 40 if I can't take a sip? That's amazing. That's the line. What is a 40 if I can't take a sip? That's like Shakespeare.
So they didn't write that line. That line, and this is where I love this. I think this is brilliant. That's a lyric from Q-tip in a Tribe Called Quest song, What?
Of course, the best line in the song is Q-tip.
But I do like that they lead in by saying that they're going to do a Q-tip.
That's great.
And then they take one of his verses.
Nice.
Which, if they're friends with Leaders of the New School, chances are they're friends with Tribe Called Quest.
Of course. So Q-tip probably was a huge fan of YBT.
He was probably there while they're recording.
Yeah. they're just paying their respects. I like it. Sometimes I drive slow. Sometimes I drive fast. Sometimes I'm on E. Sometimes I get gas.
Okay, that's another line that's from another song. That's from Nice and Smooth.
Nice and Smooth. Yeah. Sometimes I rhyme slow.
Sometimes I rhyme quick.
Wow.
Which is a great song. Holy crap.
Wow.
It's like one of those like serious rap songs about like, man, you messed up. Now you're back with your mother. And now I'm realizing that I love her.
What? I mean, is the rest of this song all other people's lyrics?
No, that was the last Rap Genius piece.
Okay.
By the way, I misquoted. That was actually a Ghetto Boys song.
Yeah.
But there is something also like that in that song where he's dating someone and then she goes away.
Heartbroken.
It is.
So check the stress. Sure to step to the left with the no E tap on the top. Pass it back.
I don't know what a no E tap is. So.
I don't know what that is either. If anyone's listening and knows what a no E tap is.
It says here O E tap.
O-E-T, Old English. So that's a wrong lyric. Yeah, there you go.
Somebody gave me notes with a typo.
Listen, I just copy them off of AZ lyrics, and then I also look at the genius lyrics later.
Which Chris knows are very often wrong from a lot of course. These.
Give a tap to the child. Pass it. Sorry, keep it going. Down my throat, I keep it flowing. Styles keep growing. Give a tap to the child. what does that mean? Give a tap to the child. Pass it. Sorry, keep it going. Are we giving the kids a little swig?
No, you're giving the kids. The kids can tap it, but keep it going. Don't drink it. You're cool to be here, but you can't drink from the 40.
Oh, okay.
Responsible.
We're checking IDs. All right.
Just as long as you don't let anyone know they're not teenagers.
We don't brown bag it. The label be showing. And we don't give a damn if the hoes be knowing.
Big problem with that lyric, because in the video, all the 40s are in bags. Obviously, because they're covering up the advertisements like they always do. But it's terrible to say that lyric while you're holding a 40 in a bag.
Yeah.
There's a big problem with that in the video.
Yeah, I have an issue with that.
Yeah, it's way too easy for them to not have made that, like, for that edit to not have made it into the video.
From the drip to my lip, I like to pass it with a grip. Shorty dog is the cipher, so you better not skip. And that's the end of the verses. And we're back to tap the bottle and, or wait, no. Right?
Yeah, that's it.
Tap the bottle and
twist the cap. Tap the bottle and twist the cap.
Tap the bottle and twist the cap.
Something about the crew.
Crew and the crewbie, all that.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, like, it's cool. I had fun just singing that with you guys now. So, I mean.
Yeah, like I said, calling this a hit was a stretch. It peaked at number 55. Like, I feel like maybe I had a song peak at number 55.
But I just had to, this one was just like, I was going to do Ponderous by 2NU or 2NU, whatever they call themselves, but. This has so many funny things about it.
This was sitting on the list from the start. And I literally was like, no one will ever pick this song. And then when you, without being sent the list, was like, I'd like to do Young Black Teenagers. I felt so much joy that I could remove it from the list. So I was like, oh my God, it happened.
I remember the first time I heard this song, Nick Solon and I went to the mall and he bought the cassette single of it. And I remember looking at it and just wondering like, wait, they're not black. Well, maybe they are. Maybe it's just the picture. I don't know. But I guess one of them is partially Puerto Rican, I think. But that's its own. That's a different thing. That's a whole other thing. That's not even black.
We're not talking about young Puerto Rican teenagers. Yeah,
exactly.
That's a different episode.
I mean, so you can consider them a person of color or whatever. Mm-hmm. In a way, but
it was the 90s.
I mean, we got to talk about what was on the chart though at this time. Yeah. Because it was a good time on the chart. In 1993, the number one song at the time was Informer by Snow,
another white rapper.
But also on there, Nothing But a G Thing was chilling at number 3. Two Princes was number 8. Ugly Kid Joe's cover of Cats in the Cradle was at number 9. But some of the other rap songs that were on the chart at the time included Diddy by Paperboy.
Wait. Okay, so I watched the show Atlanta. You know, Donald Glover show, and the main character is Paperboy the rapper. I didn't know there was already a Paperboy.
You didn't know about Diddy? Do the itty diddy if you want to.
Mm-mm. Yeah, yeah, I almost feel like song. I feel like it's brought up in one of the episodes that he took his name from a much an already established rapper. Looking Through the Patient Eyes by PM Dawn. Hip Hop Array by Naughty by Nature was on there at this time. It Was a Good Day by Ice Cube was on there. I've Got a Man by Positive K. And Mr. Wondell by the Arrested Development, all on the top 100.
Love your pronunciation of Mr. Wendell, by the way.
Mr. Wendell.
Mr. Wendell. It's like,
he gives me some knowledge, I buy him some shoes.
That's right. A man, a human. But those are great songs.
They're all really good songs.
Those are all some amazing bangers that if you put them on at a party, people after a couple of drinks would scream if they heard those songs go on.
How is Snow Informer above Nothing But a G Thing?
I mean, that may have changed over the weeks, but this specific week, Snow was dominating.
Licky boom boom down.
We're gonna defend the artist. Like why we think it is an appropriation, but it obviously is. But also, like, I don't think there's any ill intention with these guys, and I'm basing that off of what's put in front of me and the fact that it was Public Enemy who vouched for him and gave him the spotlight. You know, so who am I to talk shit? Yeah.
If there was any group that would have been furious about this, if it wasn't sincere, it would have been Public Enemy.
True.
Yeah, and I mean, and you know, Public Enemy never really was one. Yeah, they never held their tongues about anything. You know, like Riff, he's fairly anti-Semitic in a lot of his statements.
And they booted him. They're
like, get out of here. Which is also weird. Do you remember there was an episode of the Flavor Flav show with the
Flavor
lady?
Love?
Yeah, no, with the lady from Rocky IV.
Oh, Surreal Life.
Yeah, was that what it was?
Well, I think they met on Surreal Life, and then they got their own spinoff.
Yeah, and he brought her on stage at a Public Enemy concert, and everyone else in the group was like, no.
I think as of the recording of this, Flavor Flav is not a current member of Public Enemy.
I think
he got back.
He was out and like pretty quickly.
He's been
quickly booted
like 3 or 4 times.
I mean, here's the thing, though, about him. Okay, Chuck D is definitely one of my favorite. I would put him in my top 5 MCs of all time because I didn't listen to rap after 94. So, I mean, like, is Public Enemy is not Public Enemy without Flavor Flav.
You don't get a better hype man than him, except for maybe the dancing guy in the Boss Toast.
I remember there was I was watching a back history on Public Enemy, and there was like one time they were playing at the Apollo and Flav didn't show up. You know, like, it's classic Flav. So Chuck D was like, I had to take it upon myself to really rock the crowd that night. And I remember watching his performance and like, Wow. Flavor Flav took so much of that away from Chuck D, but Chuck D was commanding when he was on stage. And his voice, too, was just like...
I'm pretty sure I could be wrong about this, but I think like part of the controversy or something was that... Could be wrong, but I think the Public Enemy like let Bernie Sanders... they used their music for an ad or something, and then Flavor Flav didn't like that. And I don't know if it was because he didn't like Bernie, but I think it maybe was because he didn't want their music used in like politics, which, dude, you're a Public Enemy. You're very political. It'd be like Rage Against the Machine saying that or something.
Yeah, I don't... Well, we have to see if Flavor Flav is back in the group yet.
He's listed on Wiki as still in the group.
Well, Here's the thing is like, is Flavor Flav going to be one of those like Lil Wayne jump on the Trump train? Like one of my... someone else who I would have put in my top five favorite MCs of all time was Ice Cube. Mm-hmm. But he's a Trumper. So he's out.
Oh yeah, I mean, artists. The second anyone supports Trump, I never listen to them again. I think Ice Cube was just more or less indifferent.
I sided with Ice Cube on that whole thing, where he basically was like, "Look, there's some shit going down, and it needs to be addressed. And I'm looking for help from anywhere." And they were the ones that said, "Come and let's talk about it."
That's what it was.
Yeah. Okay. And yeah. It's like, you know what? All right, that's a fair argument. Like
that is. If people in power are saying, "Come do this," whether you think they're shitty people in power or good people in power,
yeah, if they're
going
to hear you out and you can get some change, like do it.
Yes.
So it says on March 1st, 2020, Public Enemy released a statement stating that the group would be moving forward without Flavor Flav following a disagreement over the band's decision to endorse Bernie Sanders and perform at his Los Angeles rally. Nice. Flavor Flav denounced the firing, maintaining that he was Chuck D's partner in Public Enemy and therefore he could not be fired from it. On April 1st, Chuck D announced that the firing was all a hoax. However, Flavor Flav stated that he was not part of this hoax and disapproved of the stunt.
Kind of sounds like when the people from Young Black Teenagers recount like how they got the name. Yes. Everyone just has a completely different story at this point.
But point being that this episode has made me like Young Black Teenagers. Whether that's a good thing or not, I don't know. I like the song. I think it's a cool story. I think it's really cool that Public Enemy endorsed Bernie Sanders. Like, that makes me like him even more than I already did.
The people who like produced them, if you look at their sheet, like the Bomb Squad, like of everyone that they've done, it's ridiculous. Everybody. I mean, like, whether it's, you know, Ice Cube, Bell Biv DeVoe, Lauryn Hill, the Fugees. I was reading the list today. I was like, wow, they took part in all of that?
Yeah, well.
Like, and you can tell because this song is good. Yeah. It's a party song. I can picture a 40 flying around. And incidentally, the only person who really went on from this was DJ Scribble, who went on to a lot of things. You know, he was the DJ on along with Eric Nice on The Grind.
Oh.
I knew the name DJ Scribble. All right, so are we going Thunder or Blunder on the Young Black Teenagers?
I mean, I'm going Thunder on this. I really enjoy this song. This is my type of hip hop for sure.
Yeah. But you like their whole catalog? I listened to the Kelly Bundy song. I was like, it's all right.
I mean, I'm just going on the power of Tap the Bottle, Twist the Cap. I had a lot of research to do this week.
They do have a song called something about making the donuts where they sample Tom Sawyer by Rush. Mm. It's not a good song. But I mean, I was like, oh, hey, Tom Sawyer. Wait, cool.
What was the name? I was like, I almost forgot that I wanted to at least give a very quick shout out to the name of their second record because it's absurd.
Dead Ends?
It's much longer than that.
Okay. that's the first
Dead
part
Ends
of it.
Is the abbreviated version of it. The full title for their album that featured this was Dead End Kids Doing Lifetime Bids. And that's Ends with a Z, Kids with a Z, and Bids with a Z.
No S is needed. But for me, I'm going to go Thunder. This is exactly in my wheelhouse. Like, this is the kind of hip hop that I love. Like, it reminds me of just like ruckus, like party, yelling, like in a way, like, I don't know, is this like a kind of like a, like, I hate to draw a comparison, like Lil Jon or something like that, you know, but like just like the over the top screaming party, let's have a great time, bring your gun, you know.
Okay, so
not the gun part. I don't want anyone to bring a gun anywhere.
Yeah, well, in the 90s you might bring a gun, you know, or now, whenever. I feel like I've been very generous with the Thunders on this podcast.
We're being generous with this group in general right now.
But I've, on this podcast, I've been pretty generous with the Thunders, and you guys both gave it a Thunder already. But important thing to remember here, guys, the song is not a hit. To call it a hit's already a stretch. For me to then call this Thunder is a real stretch. I think the song's fine. I think the group is kind of questionable. I think, you know, I got to go with Blunder on this one. I'm not going to like dig into their catalog. I'm not going to go this song. If PJ puts this song on sometime, I'll listen to it, but you know, it's fine. But for me, YBT is a Blunder.
Well, you don't have to go into their catalog. This is the top of this is the cream of the crop, yeah, of their catalog.
And that's an important part for me.
I mean, I would say the name was a Blunder.
I mean, it was voted one of the lamest moments in hip hop by VH1.
Yeah. And this song, I heard it and I'm like, oh yeah, I think I remember that song. But it could just like sound like the time. Yeah. You know, it could just sound like the, and I could be like, oh, well, this sounds like 50 other things.
Yeah, it just sounds like 1993, yeah, when you put it on.
Especially considering he's quoting other songs that I might know, yeah, in it. And yeah, I'm going to go Blunder, but not a mean Blunder. It's a Blunder. It's not a hit. Sorry, guys. Not a hit.
Well, the New Zealanders will disagree with,
yeah,
you on,
okay,
that.
Sorry, New Zealand fans.
This has been One Hit Thunder. One Hit Thunder is hosted by Chris Fafayos of Punchline, Pack, and Another Cheetah, and produced by Matt Kelly of Geekscape.net. Underneath me, you're hearing Weekends off the Punchline album Major Motion Picture. If you live near Reading, Pennsylvania, Punchline is playing an outdoor show at the Pat Garrett Amphitheater on Friday, June 4th, with Less Than Jake. Go to punchline.com for more info, as well as merch and future show information. If you have an interest in podcasting, visit weknowpodcasting.com for how Matt and Chris can make your show sound as professional as possible. And let us know your thoughts on the show by emailing us at onehitthunderpodcast@gmail.com. Make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to us in your favorite podcasting app. And tune in next week for another episode of One Hit Thunder.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
This is the story of Whitney Houston.
This is the story of Kurt Cobain.
Of George Michael, of Otis Redding, of Amy Winehouse, of Michael Hutchence, Bob Marley. This is the story of Prince.
It's a new podcast series
about how they died, why they died, and why we're still talking about them so long after.
It's like nothing you've ever heard before.
It's storytelling.
But it's more than that, because rock stars,
they tell us how we feel. They change our mood.
They change the clothes we wear, the people we hang out with,
the way we remember things.
It's them who give us those ludicrous moments, the ones where you're
jumping around, singing your heart out, feeling understood.
And it's those moments we'll help you remember, the ones you're thinking about right now.
That feeling.
That feeling.
It's coming soon from Crowd Network.
Just search for Death of a Rockstar on your podcast app
and subscribe now.
Hey, what's up? This is Blake Weiland. I'm the host of the Tone Mob Podcast. It's a show where I interview guitar people about guitar stuff. We talk about their pedals, their amps, their accessories, their preferences, all that stuff, as well as a healthy dose of whatever comes up. Topics have ranged from aliens to addiction and anywhere in between. Oh yeah, and pizza. We're definitely going to be talking about pizza. So get the show wherever you're listening to this podcast at. Just search The Tone Mob in your search bar and it will pop right up. Come join us. We're having a lot of fun. Thanks for checking it out.